1 John chapter 4 tonight, and we are moving along in our series here in 1 John, eventually in the 2 John and 3 John, and this overall will be our fifth study in 1 John. And John, of course, here, he's continuing to provide for us some timeless principles for living as followers of Christ. And these principles, of course, they complement the very essence of the Christian life. They surround the very essence of the Christian life. And tonight, as we look here at 1 John chapter 4 and examine chapter 4 in a little more detail, we are going to see that as Christians, we have been given several gifts from above. We've been given several divine gifts from God Himself, several gifts from heaven itself that we are meant to use in our daily walk with Christ, that these gifts, they are meant to shape and mold and make our daily walk with Christ. And so we want to break down these foundational truths here tonight that John shares with us in this powerful chapter of 1 John chapter 4. But as with the previous chapters, each chapter of 1 John has with it a key verse that we use kind of as the jumping off point, that kind of holds up kind of the tent post, the flagpole, if you would, of what the chapter is talking about. And in particular, here in chapter 4, the key verse is there in verse number 8. 1 John chapter 4. And verse number 8. And the Bible there says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so tonight it's a simple thought, simple set of points for tonight's lesson. In fact, there's just three gifts that we see that we have given to us by God to help in our day-by-day walk. And let's look there, if you would, verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says there, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And so the very first thing that we see tonight, and the very first gift that we see that we have, and this is your first fill in the blank there on your handout, but we see first tonight is that we have light in discerning spirits. We have light in discerning spirits. And here in these first six verses, the Apostle John, He's reminding us as Christians of the importance of discernment in the Christian walk, of the importance of being discerning in our Christianity. Because, you know, when we look at the world around us, and, you know, it's just not relegated, by the way, to the spiritual realm. It's just not relegated to the church realm. It's just not relegated to Christianity. But the world is full of deceptive people. The world is full of deceptive spirits. The world is full of false teachers. The world is full of influences that seek to lead us away from the truth. Because remember, what is John dealing with primarily here in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? Anybody remember what we said he's dealing with? Yeah, for lack of a better term, he's dealing with false prophets. He's dealing with people who they're infiltrating the church, and they're trying to tell the believers here that in order to attain a higher knowledge of Jesus, and in order to obtain a higher knowledge of God, you need something more than Christ. You need something more than God. And John is trying to get the readers to understand that, no, that's false. That's not true. In fact, you notice there in verse number 3, he says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist." And so the thought is that anything that is opposite of Christ is Antichrist. You know, so often as Christians and as believers, and we get caught up on the end times, and we get caught up on the Antichrist, and we've even had conversations around here. I know Brother Kenny and I, we've had conversations about the Antichrist, like the Antichrist, the one who's going to come and seize power. And sometimes we get so focused on him that we lose focus of the fact that there can be other little antichrists even along the way. That there can be other, again, I've said it this way a number of times, that for everything true that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. He has something that is false to go against that, to confuse us and to make us wonder and to make us question and to make us get off track, so to speak. And so for everything that is true of God, Satan has something that is that spirit of Antichrist, that is that falsehood, that is that that teacher, that influence that will not lead us to the truth, but it will lead us away from the truth. And but here what John is saying and trying to teach us is that, okay, we are followers of Christ. We are Christians. We are children of God. And he is saying that as those children of God, as those followers of Christ, as those Christians, we are not to navigate this spiritual warfare on our own. And more importantly than that, we're not left to do it on our own. We're not left to do it by ourselves. We have the light of God's Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit of God to help us recognize, well, what is of God and what is not of God. And so listen, if you've been saved and you've been a Christian, you've been in church for any length of time, you're eventually going to be able to take your Bible and then take things that maybe you see on TV or you hear on the radio, or even sometimes when I'm preaching or a guest preacher is preaching or a missionary or whatever the case may be, because, you know, sometimes we're up here and we're teaching and we're preaching and we have a lot to get through. And I may stumble over my words, and I may say something that I meant to say it this way, and I said it this way, and it came out this way. And, well, you've been saved long enough to know, well, hey, that's not exactly right. Now, you know what I meant, and you come up to me afterwards and say, you know, hey, did you actually mean this? And I say, well, why? What did I say? And you say, well, you said this. And I say, oh, yeah, that's right. I meant this. And we get it, you know, sorted out.
That's why we're supposed to listen to what you say, but then when you finish, read it for yourself.
Right, right. And, you know, there's many times I go home and I reread my notes, or I go back and I listen to the sermon again to, you know, make sure, okay. And one of the things I pray sometimes is, okay, Lord, help me teach this in a clear, understandable way. Because, you know, as pastors, the Bible tells us, and as missionaries and evangelists, and as just preachers in general, Sunday school teachers, whatever the case may be, when we stand before God, we're going to be held accountable for what we teach, for what we preach. And so we need to make sure that we are teaching the truth, and that we are not teaching something that is false, something that is error, whether by mistake or intentionally. Now, by mistake, there's a little leeway there because we all make mistakes. But then there's also those who they're up there teaching things. And listen, they have to know that it's false. They have to know that it's not true. And so the Holy Spirit of God, John says, it helps us to recognize, okay, what is true and what is not true? What is of God and what is of Antichrist? What is not? And so we see here the command, number one, to test the spirits. The command to test the spirits. Notice there again, if you would, verse number one. Verse number one, the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit. In other words, not everybody that says they're of God is of God. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so here John begins, he urges the believers to test the spirits. To try the spirits. That's what the word try means. It means to test the spirits. To see whether they are of God. And it's this test that is crucial, because not every message, not every influence that claims to be from God is trustworthy. You know, false prophets, false deceivers, they abound in this world, even in the early church, even here in John's day. They were dealing with these false prophets and these deceivers. And as Christians, as believers, we must exercise spiritual discernment. We need to evaluate the teachings that we hear through the lens of Scripture. We need to hear and evaluate them through the lens of what does the Bible say. And the witness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And so that's the command. He says, okay, try the spirits. Well, the question becomes, how do we test the spirits? How do we try the spirits? Well, look there, if you had verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. And so John says simple, the simple command, try the spirits. Well, if we're going to try them, if we're going to test them, there needs to be a way to try them. There needs to be a way to test them. From verses 2 and 3, who can guess what the test is?
It has to line up with the Word of God.
It has to line up with the Word of God, that's right. But what else? Anybody have an idea? It's a very simple test. Not salvation.
Grace.
Who?
Living in the ways of Christ.
Living in the ways of Christ. That's right. Or just simply put, Jesus Christ. He is the test. And that's what John is saying here. That's the simple, profound test John provides us to discern the spirits, to try the spirits, to test the spirits. And here's what John says. Whether they confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is a confession. This is a fundamental that is central to the Christian faith. You see, any teaching that denies the divinity, any teaching that denies the humanity of Jesus is false. So as Christians tonight, as a church, we know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, born in the flesh, and he was born in that stable in Bethlehem. We know that. He was born of the virgin, and that he was fully God and fully human. We know that. But now, if anybody denies that, we know that then what they're teaching is not true. And so, we know Jesus, fully God and fully man, he is the foundation of our faith. Now, to us, that seems and sounds like, and it is, it's blasphemy to think, oh, surely nobody could teach that Jesus isn't, you know, he wasn't born of a virgin. No one can teach Jesus isn't fully God and fully man. But there are those out there that teach that he is not fully God and fully man. And so we get to the heart of true Christianity. And the heart of true Christianity tonight is centered around Christ. Any message that diminishes his person, his work, or his divinity is not of God. It's just not of God. And so we need to realize when someone comes and teaches that Christ is not of, he is not fully man, fully God, born of a virgin, then they need to teach that that is false. They need to teach that that is not true. Then notice, if you would, verses 4 through 6. Verses 4 through 6. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so we see here, we have the command, we have the test, and now we have, once we test them, now we have victory through the Holy Spirit of God. And John here, he finishes this thought in verses 1 through 6 by encouraging believers with the assurance that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, as Christians, and oftentimes we all feel like this at one time or another, when we're confronted with something that is false, when we are confronted with something that is not true, when we are confronted with a false teaching, sometimes we don't feel like we're capable of defending the faith. Sometimes we don't feel like we're capable of defending that which is true. But John here is saying that we are not left alone in the battle. We are not left alone or defenseless in the battle. The Holy Spirit of God, who resides in every believer, gives us the power to overcome the lies of the world. And while the world listens to the lies of false prophets, as Christians, we hear and believe the voice of God. And it's the Holy Spirit within us that empowers us, that enables us to discern truth from error. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we can stand firm. Listen, in other words, if you know what's true, you know what's right, you can stand because you have the Holy Spirit of God. You can stand firm in your faith even when the world is filled with falseness. Even when the world is filled with falsehoods. And so John here, he says that as we navigate the complexities of life, we must be vigilant. We must try. We must teach the testings, the influences that we encounter. We're called to be people of the Word, using the Scriptures, using the Bible, using Jesus Christ to test all things. When we face spiritual deception, we do so with the light of God's truth, with the discernment provided by His Holy Spirit. So we see number one tonight, we have light in discerning spirits. Then secondly tonight, we see we have love in dealing with others. We have love in dealing with others. Notice there, if you had verses 7 through 14. Verses 7 through 14. The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And so we see this next section here that John emphasizes is that he emphasizes love. He says that love is the distinguishing mark of the Christian life. In the Gospel of John, he says that the world will know that we are Christians by our love for one another. That the world will look at us and see how we treat one another. And they'll know that we are indeed Christians. And here in these verses, John highlights the nature of God's love. He tells us how it is manifested in the life of the believer and how it needs to shape our relationship with not only one another in the church, but those outside of the church. And so we see here, John says that it's God's love that compels us to love others. You ever wonder sometimes, say, how am I supposed to love so-and-so? Well, it's because God loves you and God loves us. And because we know that God loves us, well, then we can take that love and then give it to somebody else, even if they don't seem so lovable themselves. And as we receive His love, we're called to give it away to those that are around us, whether they're believers, whether they're Christians, or whether they're unbelievers. And you know, we live in a world today that it is filled with hatred. We live in a world today that it's filled with division. The church should be a place that it's a beacon of love, that it's a beacon of grace, that it offers love and grace and care and concern and compassion to those that come in, because that's exactly what God has given to us. And that's what we need to offer to this world, because then at the end of the day, that's their only hope. And so we see that we have light, we have love, and then thirdly and finally tonight, we see we have loyalty and dedication to the Lord. We have loyalty and dedication to the Lord. Notice there, if you would, verses 15 through 21. Verses 15 through 21. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. There's that phrase again. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment hath we from him, that he who all... And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. And so here John, he finally wraps up this passage of Scripture and this thought here in 1 John in chapter number 4. And here in this final section, he addresses now the relationship between our love for God and our loyalty to God. And John speaks of the necessity of abiding in God's love and being loyal to the Lord in both our love for him and our love for others. But now here's the key. We love God and we love others. But you say, well, what if it ever comes down to a competition? What if it ever comes down to a choice? Are we to love somebody else first, or are we to love God first? Well, the answer to that, of course, is we're to love God first. We're, you know, because I was watching a show just the other night, and it's the show Blue Bloods. I don't know if anyone ever seen the show Blue Bloods, but it deals with the police commissioner of New York City. And the archbishop of the Catholic Church there in Manhattan, he comes in to visit the police commissioner, and he tells the police commissioner, I need you to make an arrest. And the police commissioner says, okay, I have no problem with that. And he says, here's where the guy's going to meet you. And the police commissioner says, well, what's he guilty of? He says, well, he killed a man here in New York. And okay, so he's wanted for murder. Okay, we can arrest him. He's going to meet you here at the church, and so on and so forth. And he says, okay. He says, well, I know you didn't come all the way down here just for that. He says, what's the second shoe? And he says, oh, nothing too big. He says, this same guy is wanted for murder in Ohio, which is a death penalty state. And well, New York, that's not a death penalty state. And he says, I want you to arrest him So he does his time in New York, and he doesn't go to Ohio and face the death penalty. And well, the police commissioner looked at him and he says, you know, my job isn't to play politics. My job is just to enforce the law. And he says, I'm not, you know, throwing my weight around and calling in any favors. And the archbishop looks at him. He says, yeah, but you can throw your weight around and make this happen. And so I watched that and I was thinking about this thought tonight. And, you know, there's going to be time in our lives where people, they're going to ask us to do certain things sometimes or ask us to do things that, well, we know are not what God would have us to do. Would do things that God would frown upon. And the question becomes, okay, where do we make the balance? If we don't do what the person asks us to do, they're going to accuse us as not loving them. But here's what John was trying to say. If you ultimately love God, you're going to love others no matter what, because you're putting God first. You're putting God number one. And so John here, he speaks to that necessity of abiding in God's love, loving others, but also being loyal to God in both our love for Him and our love for others. And here's a great thing, by the way, about being loyal to God. Because again, sometimes in churches we get the idea, well, loyalty to God and loving God is just following the rules, right? Thou shalt not do, thou shalt do. But loving God and having loyalty to God, it's not just simply about following rules, you know, or, you know, doing this or not doing that. Loving God and being loyal to God, it's about being in an ongoing relationship with God. It's a relationship that is ever growing, ever maturing. And it's a relationship that is motivated by love. And we demonstrate that loyalty to God by living out His love in our relationships with others. And our dedication to the Lord is shown in our everyday actions, reflecting His love in all that we do. You know, sometimes you're going about your day, you go to Walmart, you're checking out, maybe you give the cashier a kind word, a smile, whatever the case may be. You don't know what that person's going through that day. And maybe that smile you give them, that kind words you give them, maybe just ask them about their day or whatever, and maybe that encourages them. To you, that just seems, you know, normal, par for the course type of things, but for them, that was something that maybe made their day, encouraged them. Well, what were you doing there? You were showing the love and kindness of God. And here in 1 John chapter 4, we're reminded of the divine gifts we have received, the light, the love, the loyalty that are to guide us in our Christian walk. And as Christians tonight, we have the light of the Holy Spirit to discern truth from error. We have the love of God poured into our hearts, which compels us to love others as He has loved us. And we have a deep loyalty to God, demonstrated by our dedication to Him and to one another. And so we leave here tonight, we go about another week. That's what we need to seek to do. We need to seek to walk in the light of truth. We need to love others as Christ loves us and as Christ loves them. We need to remain loyal to God and loyal to the Word of God, knowing that these are the marks of a true disciple of Christ. And as we go about our week and our month and our year and our errands and everything we do, we need to seek to it that the world sees the light, the love, and loyalty of God reflected in our lives. And as they see it in our lives, the hope is that it will draw them to the Savior. And maybe, just maybe, they'll get saved. And maybe, just maybe, they'll get in church. And they'll get involved in church. All because You just do the basic things that you do already, showing them what it truly means to be a Christian, showing them that Christ really is enough. And that's what John is trying to show us here in 1 John, that Jesus is enough. Let's pray.